Hi, and welcome to Nick Tan's Is This Thing On podcast number 73. I'm Nick Tan, obviously, and I shall bring you the best independent music on the planet. And it's not just any old independent music, and I'll tell you about that later on. Lots of music as per usual, and we've had a band in this week. We had The Rising in, so I'll play them later on. In the meantime, let's play you some other music. This is the Faux Disco Club. Great, I love that track. And if anyone's wondering about Keiko, I heard on Facebook she's fine. Lots of stuff going on in Japan at the moment. It's awful. I'm not going to talk about it. Everyone knows about it, but Keiko's okay. Right, this is the Bang Bangs.
You say that you hate me, cause tomorrow you know you still love me. Put your fingers between the hinges as doors slam louder than hell. All round, I can't get going down. Hey, hey,
Hello, I'm a posh bird, and you're listening to Nick Tan's Is This Thing On podcast.
Well, that was good as well, wasn't it? Bang bangs. I did say in one of the 400 takes of the first part of the podcast that it was going to be a bit of a loud one tonight, but I don't know if I said it in this beginning one last time. It's the most difficult part of the podcast for me. The first thing that I say, I normally do about 10 takes of it. The rest of it, all this stuff, piece of piss. No problem at all. Anyway, that was the bang bangs. And last week, was it last week? I don't know. Things are going so fast at the moment. So busy. Dan Shears and the Velveteen Orchestra. I think Paul Lane came in and talked about them. Oh, he did, didn't he? That's right. And he didn't send me a track. So we had to not have any music underneath his stuff. So this week, he sent me the track. And this is it. This is Dan Shears and the Velveteen Orchestra.
Cathedrals on fire, decaying streets, the sound of singing under gunfire. This is the end, my love. Take my hand and let love consume this evil.
Listening to Is This Thing On with Kid Russell. Make sure to get my album. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll play some Kid Russell next week. That was Dan Shears and the Velveteen Orchestra. I like that a lot. I like that very much indeed. Now, just a little run through of how this podcast works. Now, you might be a regular listener, an irregular listener, and a once in a while listener, or it might be your first time. When I first record this, when you're listening to it now, I don't know when it'll be. Could be Sunday night, could be Monday, could be in the future. Could be in the future, who knows? But as soon as I've recorded this, it goes up, it goes onto the website. It goes onto iTunes as well. You can subscribe on iTunes and all that sort of stuff. But all the list of everybody that I've played will be on isthisthingonpodcast.com. That's isthisthingonpodcast.com. I think the posh bird's going to tell you about that later on. When it first goes up, there are no links. There's just a list of people that I play. It's normally the next day I will put a link to the people that I've played straight to their websites where they're selling stuff, and you can join their website, join their mailing list and all that sort of stuff. We'll get into that a little bit later on. I've got a bit of more of an explanation about that. So don't go onto the website, or you can go on the website tonight. Obviously, you might be listening on the website. Who knows? You might be listening on the website now going, what's he talking about? There's a whole list of people here. But there are no links, so you need to come back in a day or a couple of days and listen to it then. Subscribe on iTunes. Why not do that? It's easy. Bloody easy. Anyway, look, enough chat from me for the time being. I'll come back and have a rant at you later on. Earlier on this week, yesterday here, Saturday afternoon, we had The Rising in. It was me and Paul Lane and The Rising. Have some of this. So, Paul.
Nick.
It's that time of the week.
It is, mate, and we've got a room full of people.
We haven't we? We've got a proper band in.
Proper band. None of your fake band rubbish. Nah, you know, proper band. Three of the boys from Southampton band The Rising. Gentlemen, if you'd like to introduce yourself to the good public.
Tommy Overton, the singer.
Ryan Griffiths, rhythm guitarist.
And Jimmy Hayes, guitar.
Marvellous. Okay. And tell us a bit about the band, The Rising, because there's going to be a few people out there that are pretty new to it.
What?
Yeah. Sorry, Tommy. We've got you in here in false pretenses, didn't we, mate?
We've just been a rock and roll band from Southampton. We've been together for about a year now, haven't we?
Yeah, getting off a year and a half.
Main influences, the Beatles, the Stone Roses, Oasis, mm-hmm. Sex Pistols.
Yeah.
Not inventing the wheel, it's all been done before, but we love it, it's proper rock and roll.
Cool. Good. And what's your sort of kind of musical backgrounds kind of individually? What was, you know, how did it all start?
Well, to be honest, I've known these two boys from working with them about 10 years ago, and I moved to Southampton and they said they wanted to start a band. And I was desperate to get away from, to get out from the family and just have a bit of something to do. And
to be good. Desperate to get away from the missus.
She won't listen.
Sorry.
If I'm totally honest, I didn't think anything would come of it. But when we got together, everything just slotted into place really nicely. Everything, every instrument, every person, every song. You know, we worked and worked and worked on them, and all of a sudden we had a set of about 10 songs, and they were all really good, and we thought, well, we'll just go and gig them. We'll just go and do it. And they were
well, that was the thing, wasn't it? Get a gig more or less straight away, get a set list and get out there and get a gig sorted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people worry about whether they should play covers first, how they should go about it, you know, should they do a couple of gigs in front of just a few people. And we were lucky enough to get added to the bill on a set of the Joiners within about a month or so of being together.
Yeah, it was early days, right?
About a month, maybe 7 weeks or something like that. We did it, and then from there we just sort of got the bug and just went and did as much as we could. Then luckily enough we met up with Jules, who was sort of fanned the flames of what we were doing, and said that he would, you know, he'd happily put out a CD for us, and then that got us into the idea of doing a recording, and from there it's gone on and on.
The Jules, the Angry Badger Records. Yeah
cool. Good.
So obviously the big thing that you got coming up that we want to really talk about is
the Primal Scream
slot. What's happening with that then?
Well, we've been doing gigs for Jamie Kelly. Mm-hmm. Jamie Kelly, he works with Alan McGee, mm-hmm. Greasy Lips. We met Alan McGee in May last year. And just been harassing him for about a year.
How did you meet Alan McGee? How did that come about?
He was at the Greasy Lips, and we just, went up and introduced ourselves.
And the Soul Cellar.
I think he digged our set. He said it was a good set, and that was enough for me. I was on his case.
Yeah. He's regretting the day he accepted your Facebook friend request ever since.
Fucking hell, is that Tommy again?
What is this greasy lips? What is it?
Greasy lips.
I'm Hank in Texas, sitting with pants, scratching myself.
Greasy Lips was a club night set up by Alan McGee, and then he decided to take it on the road. And the idea was that it would showcase all of the local bands that were the best bands from that area. And Alan McGee, being who he is, which is
who
the founder,
is Alan McGee?
He's the founder of Creation Records, who signed Oasis. People will come to see him, and therefore the people that come to see him will see all these new bands. So from a band point of view, it was a good way for you to get your name about in terms of the local area. From his point of view, it was a good way for him to go and case up which bands were good bands. So nobody really lost
and make a lot of money.
I've heard his fees pretty high.
So what does he do then? Because you said like they come to see him.
Well, basically the venue that runs the Greasy Lips night gets to make an awful lot of money because they run a set of preliminaries where they vote on the best band. Then four or five bands are picked to play the final in front of Alan McGee. He then, according to the spiel that we got, is that he was going to give us some amazing industry insight. He was going to say, this is what you do, this is how you get signed. And we had these visions of him turning up with a briefcase and a contract.
We just got good gig. But now, I saw him at Greasy Lips a couple of months ago in February when we had a chat and stuff. He's really approachable sort of guy. You know what I mean? You ask him things and he always answers and, man of short words.
However, he didn't do what we thought, which was put us, you know, he's given us some great contacts and he said, you know, you're going to have to work at it. But I think one of the problems with the Greasy Lips when it's promoted and sold to people is that they assume that, you know, there's a contract somewhere. And that there's some A&R guys in dark glasses at the back of the room.
Sounds
we're
like some
out.
Sort of indie X Factor.
Yeah. But it's
well.
Really,
cut
it's
a long story short, he put us through to Jamie. And because I said, you know, we've battered Southampton, we've played everywhere. We want to get out and about and get our noise heard. Mm. And I spoke to Alan and sort of said, can you help us out? He put us through to Jamie. Mm-hmm. And then we got a gig. It was supposed to be at Dirty South. It was supposed to be at Lewisham.
Yeah.
Supposed to be Dirty South, but it got moved at the last minute. Mm. Treacherous weather conditions. Yeah. So we went to Brixton Jam.
We thought we'd been stitched up.
I swear, yeah. And we, because of the weather, obviously you got to sell tickets and you got to bring people.
Yeah, yeah.
We had people dropping off by the minute, weren't they? We just thought, oh.
We thought it was going to be.
We're going to turn up. There's going to be about eight people there. It was between 400-500 people there. We couldn't believe it.
You thought you were playing Southampton.
It's the sort of place where people go just to listen to music. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like round here. We have to punt tickets out and you sort of really, really promote your gig and fill the place up.
This place up
in Brixton. It's just a place where people just go there to listen to live music
and see what's new.
And loads and loads of people turn up as well.
Well, this is something we've talked about quite a lot, isn't it? About playing London.
Every band that comes in here, pretty much.
Talk about it down here.
Came into the same.
Well, down here, you've got that pressure's always on the bands to sell tickets. Oh, we'll give you a gig, but you know you've got to bring people. Whereas in London, you're in touch with promoters. You say, oh yeah, we want to play this venue there. So yeah, we'll give you a slot. And there's not that pressure because people in London go out and they go, I'll tell you what, we'll go to Dublin Castle, we'll go
still,
to the jam,
well, there's still an element of pressure there. If you want to play this gig, you need to sell 60 tickets.
Yeah.
50 tickets is roughly.
Right, but between 30 and 50. Now we've got to get 60 people out to London.
But there are people that go, oh, we'll go here tonight, because they put good bands on.
But I still don't think it's like the good old days where you just all piled into a van and you just drove somewhere and played. You still got to bring people.
But the thing is, the difference between playing London is that when you go there, you're going to meet other bands and you expand on your horizons so much, whereas Southampton, unfortunately, being so far removed from London, you just don't get that. You know, you're going to go and play a gig there. If you're really lucky, you get a good support.
Yeah.
But they're counting on bringing people from Southampton. They're not dragging people from London or from Birmingham or from anywhere else down to Southampton for their gig.
Yeah.
So you are really playing in front of the same crowd a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And one of the things we've always said is that we won't dilute our fan base by playing every week in Southampton, because once they've seen you play once, you haven't got enough new material.
It's
going to
drop off, isn't it? It's just going to go.
No one's going to do it, are they? I mean, you wouldn't go and see your favourite band play every week. After a while, you go, what should we do? Should we go and see them rising again? So, we have seen them the last 3 weeks, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, what I've always thought about you guys, I mean, not only
one of the best live bands I've seen around here for a long, long time.
Thank you.
Phenomenal live show, I love it. It's a lot of energy, it's just good fun rock and roll, you know, it's great. But whenever you play, it's an event, because you've left that gap between playing.
Oh,
and like we were saying, you know, off air as it were, you know, you've left it sort of 2 months, 3 months between gigs, so you give yourself that time to sell tickets, to build up a bit of a...
Try and make it a bit more exclusive.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly, you know, and I mean, it is amazing, right? We sold out the Talking Heads, the Joiners, Soul Cellar. You know, how do you do it? I mean, because like there's bands probably listening to this thinking,
well, we
would have been like the same we fully you know, people
best,
into
the best sales in Southampton.
Apply the pressure on people.
Yeah.
You just, well, I don't know, we've been very lucky. People seem to be right into it. Do you know what I mean? It's good.
I think it's a case of if people like your music and what you're doing and you know what you're playing and stuff, they'll come.
I have a slightly more cynical
play,
view
so.
On it, in that a lot of people turn up to our first gig to see just how
they want to see you fall on your ass.
And then when we were actually pretty good, they all suddenly went, hold on a minute, these guys can play. And then the thing about Southampton that is good is that word of mouth is excellent.
Mm.
You know, if you play a good gig, people will hear about it. Everyone talks at the water cooler or whatever and says, what did you do on Friday? Well, I saw these guys that are a band, I know two of them. And then they go, oh, I know him. And then that's how it builds, you know, because people get to come and see you, they get to say hello.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great thing about live music when you're unsigned, is that people can come and have a chat with you. And that's something that we really enjoy.
I think what I like about what we're doing is we just turn up with a minimal amount of equipment. We've got people supporting us, right? They turn up with massive amplifiers like that, wheeling them in and carrying them up flights of stairs and stuff like that. And you're thinking, you don't really need that because someone's going to put a mic in front of that.
Jimmy,
you don't want to go for those big speakers up there.
Absolutely.
Jimmy,
we'll
just turn off the band and have a guitar and sort of.
But we have
quite funny when you see these other people struggling in and out with like a billion amplifiers and foot switches and stuff like that. And you sort of think to yourself, is all that really, really necessary?
Yeah,
we don't think it is. We're a raw.
We're just skin.
The thing is, your backline is your monitor, your personal monitor for your instrument. People at the front, like as far as the PA engineer is going, he's like, I don't really want that, so I've got to fight against that. Plus these, you know, I'd rather just trust him. I mean, it's easy for me because I'm just a singer somewhere. I've got a guitar and a vocal, and I just plug it in. If I turned up with a bigger amp from my acoustic, they go, what's going on? You know, I'd rather plug it into a.
I think you're moving in, aren't
they? Yeah. You know, and so what's the difference? Because you want to be heard, but if you've got a smaller amp, the chances are you're going to get a better mix on stage because you've got monitors at the front when you play big gigs. It's not like you're playing at school hall.
There's a lot of musical snobbery about that. You know, you turn up and some guy's got some Fender Deluxe or whatever. But I had a really good phrase the other day. If you don't like it, mic it. Which is, you know, you mic it up and it doesn't matter how big your amp is, does it?
No. I've seen people swoon at an Orange stack.
Yeah,
what's like, oh, lovely, look at that.
First gig we played the amps, we had our first gig, we had the Joiners last year.
I had a
little Marshall about that big.
I had a PV £80 valve, little tiny thing about
it was smaller
35
than a
centimetres tall.
It was smaller than a
The engineer laughed for quite a long time.
Turn it on
before he actually mics it up.
That's actually on YouTube though, isn't it?
So when you say, like, how do people find out about your gigs? Like if you were doing a gig next week or whatever,
I genuinely struggle to think how bands sold tickets before the advent of Facebook. Do you know what I mean? Because we just go on there and we just hammer it on there. I mean, beforehand, I mean, I had to make a lot of fucking flyers. Do you know what I mean? To deliver.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just go on there, we're playing a gig at so and so, and you put it on 3 days. You do it to make people sick in the teeth about it. But I mean, every time we do it, you'll see me get a bite, and you know, you're in the car every day, just driving somewhere, dropping tickets off. I mean, we put the legwork in. I think that's a deciding factor. We do all put the legwork in, and we do try and punt the tickets. A lot of bands can't be asked, you know. Do you know what
they
I mean?
Can't.
A lot of bands think they got a gig and that's it, mega. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to play in front of 30 people. If I'm in a band, I want to play. If the place holds 600, I'm honestly not happy unless it's got 600 people in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm pissed off if it hasn't. If we undersell it.
I think the days are gone where you turn up. And, well, I don't know if it ever was that. Ever was it thus? I don't know about Southampton. I mean, like you were talking about
but the
London.
The Joiners used to be a venue where people would go on a Friday night to the Joiners and see what's on. And so if you got a Friday night slot there, you knew that you'd play in front of people.
Yeah, like Lennon's is a bit like that.
We all want to play there.
We actually want to play Lennon's.
Because it's rent a crowd.
It's a nightclub, isn't it?
There's students there, they're all on the smash, you know. They're there anyway.
Don't play there
at end of term. I've done some open mics and I did some jam nights at the Hobbit. And it's when the students are in, it's great, it's all packed full of people. And they're like, oh, yeah. When the students are there, you walk around going, oh, fucking hell, where is everybody? You walk past the Sobar and you're like, where's that Roar? Because you know Sobar in...
You
go there, and, like, even in the depths of winter, and there's people all outside smoking, and the noise, there is a roar from that beer garden. You go there when there's no one there, it's like, ooh. it's like one of those zombie films. Oh, hang on.
Yeah, 28 days later.
Yeah.
Should we hear a song?
Well, yes, let's hear a song. So what song are you going to play for us first?
Story of My Life is familiar, isn't it?
Yeah. Tell us the story behind that song.
It's one of Ryan's songs, isn't it?
I finished work one day and I went home, like I normally do from work, and first thing I normally do is pick up a guitar and play it for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I came up with a tune, came up with some words, mm-hmm. and 20 minutes later we had Story of My Life.
Fantastic.
Which I first actually done, I played that ages ago with Matty. Stanley.
Yeah, of Gideon's Demise.
And that's before we put the Rising together, and then it's turned out to be one of our more anthemic sing along sort of tunes, isn't it, really?
Yeah, people seem to like it.
I like it. Well, I say I like it, I wrote it. from my perspective, it's lyrically it's my favourite writing song.
Outside and I'm all alone, waiting for the bus to take me home, and it's raining down on me. There's a big black cloud above my head, and it's with me everywhere I tread, and it's raining down on me. I make no mistake, I'm not alone. Identical strangers everywhere I go, clutching onto their dreams. And I left my thoughts in a wishing well, when there's a waiting list as far as I can tell. I must have stepped out of line. Someone please tell me where I went wrong. Someone please tell me what's going on. I'm trying to find a world to which I belong. It's the story of my life. It's the story of my life. Every day, tomorrow, less, I'm staring into nothingness, and the bubble around my mantra has burst. The prodigy once within has packed its bags and gone again, and left me standing here in the lurch. Someone please tell me where I went wrong. Someone please tell me what's going on. I'm trying to find a world to which I belong. It's the story of my life. It's the story of my life. Well, I guess my life's someone's gain, and I'm still out here in the pouring rain, and that bus don't seem to be on its way. But I'll keep staring at the stars, envisaging my notions for a while, if they'll let me back in. Someone please tell me where I went wrong. Someone please tell me what's going on. I'm trying to find a world to which I belong. It's the story of my life. 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 It's the story of my life.
Story of my life. So where that's on your first EP, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's called, it's called Hey You. It's available on iTunes.
Yeah.
You can also get it through Iconic Culture.
Yeah.
Through our label, Angry Badger.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Iconic Culture's website, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. And if you become friends with us on Facebook, we can get you a real CD if you're that kind of person. We can send one out.
Real CD.
Yeah.
One of them real ones.
Yeah. None of that fake rubbish.
Old school.
Shiny.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. What about on tape? Is it available on
it's
tape?
It's an HMV, Southampton.
It
is,
yes.
Not on tape.
Not on tape, on CD.
No. Oh, dear me.
So, I've got a mate who loves tapes.
Yeah, you know.
Everyone's got a mate who loves tapes.
It's all about.
Maybe it's the same one.
He's just the one guy.
Yeah, yeah, just the one tape man. So we did touch on briefly Primal Scream.
Yes.
Slot that you come with. So tell us about that. What is
out of the blue, Jamie messaged me and said if we'd be up for it. Obviously being a Primal Scream fan, I didn't even ask this lot, I said yeah.
Yeah, so what is it, you're playing the after show?
Yeah. Primal Scream are playing at Brixton Academy, it's actually their last date, the Screamadelica tour.
Mm.
So they play on the Friday and the Saturday, and
yeah.
There are two after parties, we actually play on the final after party.
Fantastic.
And we anticipate that the band will be there to have a good few drinks. Manny's doing a DJ set.
Yeah, Manny of Stone Roses and...
absolute legend that he is, yeah.
One of the finest bass players, I would.
Up there with Entwistle, I think. I really feel
fantastic.
It.
Really. Absolutely fantastic, yeah. And so, where is the actual after show party?
It's at Brixton.
When is it?
It's on Saturday, the 26th of March.
That's right.
Yeah.
Brixton Jam.
Brixton Jam, which is not far from Brixton.
Down the road from the Academy.
Yeah, okay. And any other bands playing at all? Is it
there'll be a whole night on. We've been given we're on about half 10. We've been given a good slot. So
great. Okay. And how can people get tickets?
Again, via the Facebook page, via us.
We're actually going to put on some transport, depending on the numbers that want to come. So those people that do want to get up there and have a drink and not worry about driving can contact us. There's nothing set in stone as such at the moment, but we will organise some transport if there is enough interest. So
fantastic. Great. Okay, so what else have you got lined up for the rest of the year?
We weren't going to play Southampton this year. It was our sort of plan was to... hit the road.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we've been offered a lot of money to play. So, so we're going to play Hamptons in May. I think that's it's a Friday the 27th.
And then before that, we're playing Bournemouth on the 5th.
Okay.
So we've got a couple of South Coast shows and then we will be in London.
Where in Bournemouth are you playing? Which
The Winchester, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Other than that, we'll be trying to hit London some more.
Yeah.
Nothing booked. As of this minute,
we've got the plan. I've got the targets. I've got the venues that we want to be in.
Have you?
Fingers crossed, we get them.
Do you care to, you know, divulge?
I'd like to play the Under Club, being a Pistols fan.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, I like to get their bit of history. And the other ones that are in the enemy, a bit like the Queen of Oxton.
Yeah.
The Windmill in Brixton.
Yeah.
Obviously the Barfly in Camden. Dublin Castle, maybe. Yeah. We'll check it out. We'll see what's going on, what we can get. And, that is the plan.
Recordings wise, is there going to be some new stuff?
We do want to record an album. However, at the moment, we're more interested in getting ourselves out there. I mean, an album's there. We've got the songs to do it.
Mm-hmm.
When the album comes out, it is going to be ace.
We want to make sure that when the album comes out, we've got enough people following us that we'll sell a few.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
The EP sold really well, but I think the EP was limited to a limited 500.
Yeah.
So if you don't own one already and you want a physical copy of one, then you could be part of rock and roll history because there's only 500 ever made.
There you go. There will be no more.
Only 490 left.
So they were promos, weren't they?
We've done better than that.
About 300 left.
Now, so I've had it on good authority that over half have been sold. You know what I mean? It's about 200 copies up for grabs.
Great. So, what's your ultimate ambition for the band? What is,
I just want to play thousands of people.
Yeah,
that's all I want to do.
Yeah,
you know, it's not about the money or
it is for me.
I've never sort of looked at it and thought, oh, I want to be a millionaire. Well, it'd be nice. Mm. I want to be a millionaire one day. So I've never looked at it like that. I just want people to hear the music that we're doing. You know, we're constantly writing music. We're constantly rehearsing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're doing our gigs and stuff like that, getting in and about London.
Mm.
You know, we want to get into some new ears and stuff. And you know, I think the end goal for me is to get up on stage, whether it's your gig or if you're supporting a proper massive band,
yeah,
and have thousands of people there just going mental for your music, that would be the pinnacle for me.
Yeah, no, I'd like to earn a living from it. You know, I'd like to say, you know, that's what I do for a living. You know, I am a musician. I'm good enough that's what I do for a living, and that this band that I'm in is enough that my family can live off it.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe that the music that we're doing is a bit better than a hell of a lot of the stuff that's out there.
God,
do you know what I mean?
I think
the music industry at the moment's fucking gash. I really do. I mean, the bands that are out at the moment, the Vaccines and Brother and stuff like that, I mean, each to their own, but it's not rock and roll, is it? You know, the 90s was a great decade because there were so many good bands out. I mean, okay, you've got Oasis, I mean, Oasis and Blur, and you know, they were the ones that everyone knew about, but there were so many good bands.
Yeah.
So many good bands in the 90s, and it's just stopped, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Well, we're part of the new music underground. The music scene. The underground music scene. That's what we said. This is what this is. There is still a great music scene, an underground music scene, and it seems like podcasters and independent guys just still doing it. You're still doing it. You haven't said, oh, we're not going to do it anymore because of X Factor.
Oh, no, not at all. Absolutely.
And there are thousands of bands still doing it. So I think it's vibrant. I think the industry has generally been rubbish.
I think the loathing of X Factor.
People have always moaned about the charts.
I think the loathing of X Factor acts as a great motivator to a lot of bands. To some bands, but then at the same time, I think bands like yourselves, and then a lot of the bands we play on the podcast, and I write about on Unplug and Go and See, are appealing to different people anyway.
What annoys me about it is, you know, they go for all that, you know, clogging up your ITV on a Saturday and Sunday night for about 3 months or something, just to pluck one person out at the end of it. Who, granted, will be a good singer, no doubt about it, and then just to go away and have someone write their songs for them, someone write their music for them.
Yeah.
You know, there's bands out there that are playing their own instruments, writing their own music, and doing all that sort of stuff that are a lot better than.
Well, it's all a load of bollocks anyway, because I mean, the whole X Factor thing is just finding the star. When the new star is found, he's binned, or he or she's binned, and then it's. They concentrate on finding the new. That's the whole thing about that.
Well, we could talk about this all day.
I think
it'd be nice to have you come back again.
When
you've recorded the album or whatever, or when you've got some new stuff to show.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. See you in the morning then.
Salut, mon nom est Emily, et vous écoutez Is This Thing On Podcast avec Nick Tan.
That was good, wasn't it? Should we have some more music? This is Planes Over Paris and Signs. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is That Posh Bird again. For more information on who has been played on the podcast, simply go to isthisthingonpodcast.com. Can you do that? Good.
Right, that was Planes Over Paris. I love that track. Very, very... I've got a funny feeling... No, I haven't got a funny feeling about that. If you want to find out more about The Rising, then go to Paul's website, which is unplugthejukebox.com, and you can find more about them and all the other bands that Paul reviews and has mentioned on the podcast. Now, this podcast differs from a lot of other independent music podcasts in the respect that I only play artists that send me material. Now, some of the artists sort of bellyache about this and go, oh, can't you just go to this website and download it and blah, 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 blah. And like, no, I can't. I can't be bothered. I haven't got the time. Just like a lot of other people, I wouldn't say I'm in the music business, but I'm in the business of music sometimes, you know, for doing the podcast. I haven't got time to go to your MySpace site. I haven't got time to go to your Bandcamp site and download your track and listen to it, decide if I like it or not. I sound a bit arsey, don't I? Well, it's Sunday. I've got to go to work tomorrow. I'm not in the best of moods for that. So yes, that's why I do it. That's the difference between me and a lot of other podcasts, because I think, well, if you can't be bothered to send me a track and to give me a little bit of detail about yourself, I can't be bothered to play it. Doesn't matter how good you are, I don't care. So I only want to help bands and want to help themselves. So there's some bands that sit back and go, oh yeah, just go to a MySpace site. I just go, no, I won't do it. I don't want to go to MySpace anyway. Who wants to go to MySpace? God, it takes forever. It takes forever. Anyway, that's enough moaning. Now, it's time for Simon Brown's choice, Simon Brown's list. And fortunately, it fits in quite nicely with the sort of music I'm playing tonight. Or this morning, whenever I'm playing it. How are you listening to this? How are you listening to this podcast? I'd be interested to know. So send me an email to isthisthingonpodcast.com. No, isthisthingonpodcast.gmail.com. Was it .gmail? No, at Gmail. isthisthingonpodcast@gmail.com. Send me an email. How are you listening to this? Is it on the computer? Is it off the website? Who knows? Let me know. Right. So anyway, Simon Brown, who is a great supporter of the podcast and a great supporter of podcasts everywhere and independent music. I know he's bought lots of tracks. I know he's bought lots of albums. I know he's bought this album. This is his choice of his list of people that he likes. This is sounding good, isn't it? Anyway, this from the Isle of Man, this is Postcode. I love this track.
Ground or on the up, I always. Mummy?
Yes, dear?
Mummy, I want to hear some of Nick Tan's wonderful songs.
Do, dear?
Yes, Mummy. What can I do?
Well, dear, you can go to
www.nicktan.co.uk. Will there be details of his gigs there too, Mummy?
Yes, dear.
Will there be pictures of him and his instruments? Oh, Mummy, please say yes.
Yes, dear.
Will there be widgets too, to click on? You know, those ones that link to his blogs and his podcasts.
Yes, dear.
And links to his friends' websites too?
Yes, dear.
Mummy?
Yes, dear.
Are there links to simply everything that Nick Tan does there?
Yes, dear.
What was the address again, Mummy dearest?
www.nicktan.co.uk.
Oh, thank you, Mummy. Thank you so very much.
Wonderful. That was for Simon Brown. And now I'm going to play you a track by Marvin B. Naylor, which I've played before, but I do love this track. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about his website, Diary of a Busker, after this. This is Marvin B. Naylor and Boy Became a Man.
Soldier, I wish that I was older, 'cause then I'd be a man. And I'd look after mama, my son would call me papa. I wish that I was older, 'cause then I'd be a man. I can fight the big fight, and I can fight the small fight. There'll never be a war that is too big or is too small. There's big and small and roomy, it helps to be not choosy. It's uncomfortable and gloomy, but with views across the land. Vandalizing supermarket trolleys. Some folks paint a picture to hang on supermarket walls. I could have been a soldier if I'd been dumb or bolder. I could have made a name in any war. But I look after mama. My son still calls me Papa. I never made a soldier, but boy became a man. Oh,
twitter.com
@Nick_Tan
twitter.com @Twitter.com
@Nick_Tan
twitter.com @Twitter.com
@Nick_Tan
twitter.com @Twitter.com
@Twitter.com
And if you want to follow Martin's adventures as a busker, go to diaryofabusker.com. That's diaryofabusker.com. And if you click on the top right-hand side of that, you can also go to his Bandcamp site where you can buy that whole album of his. It's a fantastic album. Really interesting. What he does with the 12-string guitar is nobody's business. Now, I'd almost forgotten about this. This is an exclusive... If this is proper radio, I'd have a dead, or maybe I wouldn't. Would I? I don't know if I would or not. This is an exclusive single by The Lost Boys. This, no one's heard this yet. No one's heard it. I was sent it this week, and I thought, so can I play it? And Paul went, yeah, of course you can play it. This is Weekend Tales by The Lost Boys.
It was a lonely evening. The club was heaving. Had to make my own way home. I took a late night bus with the vampires and chaps. I heard my parents snoring as I kicked the door and checked my watch and then my phone. I haven't got a lot of friends, but I do have got some offers for me.
isthisthingonpodcast@gmail.com. That's isthisthingonpodcast@gmail.com. With your MP3 submissions, Russian watch offers, foreign bank scams, and of course, Viagra.
Lovely. Yeah, I like that. Good track that by the Lost Boys there. Now, I want to play a track by Camp Out. I don't think I need any reason to do that. I just looked at it and I thought, Camp Out. I love Camp Out.
I made myself sick, I made myself scared, I made myself sad and I breathed all your air. I moved myself away, I moved myself back, I heard that you were done and I never wanted that. There it goes again. Stuck in this game, I do it every time and it always ends the same. I'm not doing this to hurt you, I'm just bad with the good news. I'm not saying that you don't know, I'm just running. Started facing up, I ended facing down. I thought it through again, and it turned itself around. Choose to keep it up, I choose to let it go. Scared to find a way where I choose to make it show. Hear it all again, I hear it in my head. It tells me what to do, but I run away instead. I'm not doing this to hurt. Richard Vobes, you're listening to Nick Tan's Is This Thing On podcast.
Right, well, that's all the I've just talked over Richard Vobes. What a faux pas. That's the end of the music that people have sent in. If you're listening to this for the first time, what happens now is I play one of my tracks, because that's what I do. I do stuff as well. And if I don't play one of my tracks, it's a bit stupid, really, isn't it? A bit stupid. Why bother doing a podcast plugging other people's music but don't plug mine? Now, this track, I don't think you can buy it anywhere. I mean, you might buy it off that weird album I put up on iTunes earlier on this year. I took a lot of stuff off Bandcamp earlier on this month. Yeah, even though this month's still pretty new, early on this month, because I just thought there was I had too much stuff on at Bandcamp. So people going to Bandcamp would look at it and go, oh, I had 6 albums on there. It's just too much. Too much. And so I've just got 2 now. And I think it works. Now, this track I'm going to play you. I was talking about this track a bit earlier on to Matt Cassells from April, maybe May, because I played that track of his, which I've played a lot, the Sugar and Mess from April, maybe May, and I've put it on a lot of different podcasts because I contribute stuff to other podcasts as well as this one. And he was talking about the fact that a lot of people don't get the track, and I like it because. It's a fantastic. To say I like it is a bit of an understatement. I think it's a bloody brilliant track. But some people don't get it because there's lots of subtle nuances in it. And if you're not into subtle nuances, well, you know, just forget it for the moment. You know, just leave me be and let me talk about it for a while. Because some people just don't get it. Now, this track I'm going to play you, I love this track, but I don't play it anymore because my wife doesn't like it. Now, it might sound to you like, oh, just so your wife doesn't like it. I trust my wife's judgment. She doesn't. She never leads me astray. Well, not in that way, anyway. When it comes to tracks, but she doesn't get this track, and because she doesn't get it, I haven't really got the confidence to play it out because I've tried it a few times, and it doesn't always get a great reaction because it's one of those tracks that sometimes people just don't get. I mean, you know, that's one of those things. It's like, oh, what's that all about? This track, I'd like you to listen to it. Just indulge me for a moment. I wrote this track a long time ago, probably about 10 years ago, after I'd watched a documentary about this prostitute. And I wrote this song about a prostitute. And it's not just one of those, like, oh, I don't know, whatever. But I just thought it was a sad documentary. But this girl was really, like, fighting hard to not be a prostitute. But she kind of had no choice. She had a couple of kids. She came from an abusive family. It was just not a good time for her. And she was kind of doing the only thing she could. And all the time she was saying, I really hate doing this. But in the next minute, there was shots of her sort of, like, dressing up and doing stuff for the Sun. Is the Sunday Sport still going? I thought that would be finished by now. But it might still be going, might it? You never see it. Thank God. Awful thing. But, yeah. She sort of appeared in, well, she didn't sort of appear in it, she did appear in it, and it's all smiley and jolly, but the reality is, it's horrible, and it's a horrible state to be in. Ah, now, just a little bit of a tip, I've just been listening back to my vocals here, and I've realised that I've been talking on the wrong side of the mic. I should have been talking on this side of the mic, but instead, I've been talking on this side of the mic. That's why it sounds a bit down this week. Sorry about that, but I'm not going to re-record it all again. So hang on a minute, let me just do this. Oh, it's probably going to make a bit of a noise now. Oh, look, just turned it round, and it should have been like this, and I didn't realise it. Sorry about that. Anyway, what was I? Where was I? Oh, I was rattling on about something. Anyway, this is the track. It's called Yahoo, and you'll find out why. I'll be back next week, and thanks for listening. Bye. Sick and tired of being poor, she turned herself into a whore and tried to get the facts right in her mind. What's she doing over there? She's dancing in her worries and her cares left way behind. Yahoo, precious mother, Wahoo. Headed hard, and that's the truth. A woman deprived of her youth, and the hand of God was nowhere to be found. Her days are hard, spent all alone. She moves to lift the telephone. She's smiling as she listens to the sound. Wahoo, precious mother. Wahoo.
This is The Posh Bird, and you have been listening to Nick Tan's Is This Thing On podcast. Fucking good, wasn't it?